looking at Ten Commandments, and as we do that again today, we do it in the context of Mother's Day. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 says this: "Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commands you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land that the Lord is giving you." As we've been looking at these commands, we've seen that they're an expression of grace. They're not a... Often folks see the commands as something, well, we've got to... They're restrictive. And I shared at the start how there's so many things that we don't see as restrictive in life that actually create a safe place for us, i.e. road rules. How many of you would like to do away with road rules? Well, if you did, I wouldn't be driving, for one. It just wouldn't be a safe place. I've been in countries where it's like they haven't got any road rules. It's a scary thing. When God calls Israel out of Egypt, he gives them some road rules. He says, now that you've come out of the influence of the idolatry and all that takes place in Egypt, I now want to put you through, if you like, a detox program about what it means to be in relationship with me, the one true God, and also what it is to be in relationship with each other, what our vertical relationship with God is. Love the Lord your heart with all your soul and mind and strength, and what your vertical relationship is going to be like, what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. And so as you come into something like the command to honor your father and mother, the order is significant, because if our relationship is not right with God, then our relationship on a horizontal level is going to be skewed as well. You're not going to worry about whether or not you're coveting your neighbor's stuff. You're not going to worry about whether or not you're stealing from your employer, either through time misused or whatever else it might be. There's a whole bunch of stuff you're not going to worry about. You're not going to worry about what it is to honor your father and mother, because your relationship with God is not what it ought to be. So the order is important here. And as God had redeemed Israel, that's why I say these commands are couched in grace, not just in restrictive law. There is freedom in what God calls us to in these commands. Now, the people I often have sitting in my office are folk that aren't experiencing that freedom, and often it's because they stumble in one or more of these issues in their life, particularly the issue of honoring your father and mother. How many times it is that people in their adult years are misplaced in their relationships, and that impacts on so many other areas. So God says here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord, or Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and you shall have no other gods before me." He says, I'm a jealous God, and I don't want to compete for your affection with anyone or anything else. So then he begins to unpackage what these look like. And then the parallel passages in the New Testament with Matthew chapter 22, the great commandment. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depends the law and the prophets. I know some folk who love their neighbor really well but struggle with what it is to love God. The order is important. Folk who do really good things but their relationship with God is good. Well, you don't need God to love your neighbor. It helps. But primary to loving our neighbor is the concept of what it is to love God, and then you have the capacity to love others. And so you come to this central idea within these commandments about what it is to be in relationship with God. And as we're in relationship with God, that impacts upon other relationships. So we come to Mother's Day. And I know Mother's Day is a complex thing. That's why I love the prayer that Stevie and Shane brought to us. Because for some motherhood is an accident, and it's not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood isn't possible. For some, mothers weren't all that nice. For some, motherhood under the very best circumstances is still less than a bed of roses. And so today we have blended families, single-parent families, same-sex families, divorced families, traditional families, whatever that is, and it goes on. And so Mother's Day for many today can be really complex. That's why some folk don't come to church on Mother's Day. It's just too hard. And I'm reminded of the words of the poet Wilhelm Busch, who said, "To become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so." So one thing is for sure today, wherever you might sit in this, is that for some of you, you want to put your mothers up on a pedestal, or your fathers, but it's Mother's Day, so I'm just going to go there. For some, you really want to put your mothers up on a pedestal. For others, you'd really like to leave them on a deserted island somewhere. And you'll fit somewhere in there, in this odd relationship. For some of you, when you think of your mother, you can only think of good things. Even though you know that they're not perfect, and they didn't always get it right. In fact, in our parenting program, what is it, Amy? Is it 30% is pretty good? Which is a really encouraging figure. If you get parenting 30% right, you're in front. So there, for some, your thoughts of mothers are only good, even though you know they're not perfect. You know, I was laughing in our first service because when we get our family together and we're meeting, and my mum and dad are both gone, so we're meeting as a family in Melbourne in a couple of weeks. And when we get together, we talk about our parents, and we always have a bit of laugh. You know, mum grew up in where she was in time frame. She didn't really relate to a particular nationality. She really didn't like Japanese, So we often remember that, and we remember conversations where you'd go into a restaurant or and mum would be reticent to go in there. Now, we struggle with that because, racial prejudice for us is sort of anathema. It's something we don't relate to well, but that was an issue for her, for whatever reason. So when we get together, we have a bit of a laugh at that, because we, as adults, we know our mums weren't perfect, and we can laugh at the things that they didn't always quite get right, and our kids die with a leg in the air at the thought of having either parent being so racially prejudiced. But we understand our parents, but for others, some of you, when you think of mothers, you can only think of pain, you can only think of domineering, of abandonment, or even of abuse. But even then, when no one is looking or listening, somewhere deep inside, even that individual, there's a desire to connect or to reconnect. Somewhere. The relationship with a mother or a parent goes on for a long time. It's interesting that this passage in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, the same passage, where it talks about honoring our fathers and our mothers, it's not age dependent. It simply says honor your fathers and mothers, because most of us as parents, we tend to take our kids to Ephesians chapter 6, don't we? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 that says, children shall, come on, what's the word? You can say it. Children shall obey your parents. So we get that nailed down with our kids. Because, children shall obey your parents. And that follows on from that, and honoring their father and mother. So we connect the two together. But actually Exodus doesn't have children in there. It just simply says, honor your father and mother. And there is something for us as adults, those who are, and for you younger people, for understand as a child to honor your father and mother, that this is the course of life journey. And it fits in with the plan of God. That we are to, having loved God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and love our neighbours as ourselves, what is that? Part of that looks like this idea of honoring our mothers, even though for some of you, you prefer to put them on a deserted island somewhere and leave them there. This passage, Exodus 20 verse 12, simply says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is going to give you. Same passage is mentioned in Deuteronomy, which says, honor your father and mother as the Lord has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that you may dwell with you in the land that the Lord is going to give you. There's something in this commandment, I believe, that's missing today. And it's not just out there. It's amongst God's people. The amount of adults that I, in counseling, meet with that have messed up relationships with their parents, either still living or dead. And it impacts on so many different areas of their lives. And I've mentioned this John passage where Jesus takes the time to honor his mother even in his own death. Think about that. And this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, where it talks about children obeying and honoring our father and mother. It's God's design. And it's foundational value of human relationship, this sense of honor. So what is it? What does it mean to honor mothers? It's something, it's probably not a word that's used a lot today. The Greek scholar Homer once said, the greater the cost of a gift, the more the honor. The greater the cost of the gift, the more the honor. So what do we get our mothers for Mother's Day? It says, the greater the cost of the gift, the more the honor. You know, we say to our kids, oh, it doesn't matter how much it costs. Yes, it does. Really? The greater the cost of the gift, the more the honor. You know, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, where John is describing this scene in the throne room of God. And there's this song that's taking place. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive. One of them is honor. The Lamb in the throne room of God is to be honored. Psalm 139, verse 17, David says, how precious, or how literally, how honorable to me are your thoughts, O God. What he's saying there is that what a treasure, or how priceless it is to consider your thoughts, O God. That's this word, honor. It's something to be treasured. It is something that is priceless. When Paul commands us to honor our fathers and mothers in Ephesians chapter 2, he's instructing us to attach great value to them and treat them as valuable treasures. And the more honor we attach to someone, the easier it becomes to treat them with great respect and dignity. And that's the thing that I see today and hear, is this lack of respect and dignity towards parents in some settings. For instance, the tragic death of Adelaide Crows coach Phil Walsh. Remember the outpouring of grief that there was for Phil in that tragic setting, but also with that was a tremendous sense of honor for the individual and for the man. And it was written, it was spoken, it was seen as crowds of people poured out onto Adelaide Oval. They valued him, and there's this tremendous sense of respect from the football community. You know, if Ken Hinckley to walk in here this morning, you Port supporters, what would you do? You would, you know, if the place was full, you'd stand up and give him your seat, wouldn't you? If you don't know, Ken Hinckley's the Port Adelaide coach. You'd show, if someone like him walked in the room, you wouldn't sit there and think, oh, there's Ken Hinckley. Yeah, okay. Why? You'd have a sense of respect and honor towards the individual. You wouldn't just sit there and if you're a Crows fan, you might say a few other things. But you know, if Don Pike were to walk in here this morning, Paul Hutchison, you wouldn't just sit there and say, "Oh, there's Don Pike. He's the Crows coach." Would you? You'd give him your seat. You'd ask for his autograph, something really corny like that. Or you'd give him some advice just because you lost yesterday. You know, if people like that, we show them a sense of honor and a sense of respect, and that's the idea of this word. The word means to give weight. The Hebrew word means to weigh or to make heavy. It doesn't mean that you want to make your parents heavier. But it's the idea of weighty. In other words, not only what they say carries weight, but who they are carries weight. And when you don't show them that respect and honor, it means that you don't see them as weighty people in that relationship that leads to where you elevate them to a point of respect and importance and reverence. And some of you are sitting there thinking, well, that's all right if it works. But what if, how do you honor someone when you feel that they don't deserve it? How do you honor someone when you feel that they don't deserve it? You know, some of you will have a Bible verse to remind me about this. You'll say, oh yeah, we're to give honor where honor is due. Hear that quote? It's so badly taken out of context. Because Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy or Ephesians has no qualifying statement as to the person who's to receive that honor as to whether or not they do it. Says they do it by the very fact that they're your father and they're your mother. He doesn't say give them honor if they do your honor. You see, the passage in Romans 13, that's where people get this idea of honor where honor is due. No, wrong. He's saying there in relation to authority that God places over that, ordained by the sovereign God, they have authority over us and they have honor due on the basis of God placing them in the particular position, i.e. those who rule over us in the area of government, local government, police, etc. Or perhaps in the area of parent, but that's not the context of the passage. So to say, take Romans 13 and say, well, we give honor where honor is due. No, that's not what that passage is saying. In fact, the passage says, he says, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom all revenue is owed, respect for whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed, not on the basis of them having to earn honor, earn respect, earn the fact. Does your government earn the fact that you have to pay taxes? Do they have to come to you and say, well, I'm going to be your friend and I'm going to be really nice to you, or I'm going to do all the right things, and so if I earn your respect, earn your honor, you'll pay your taxes? No. Why do we pay our taxes? Because if we're not honoring God. Because God has placed those people in those places of authority already in that place that we show honor to, not on the basis of whether or not we feel that they earn that honor. So too, in the statement in Exodus, where it simply says, honor your father and mother. And to be fair to this, I've not grown up in a situation where I've been in an abusive parent-child relationship. I've not been in a situation where my mother or my father have abandoned me. I've not been in a setting where I have, but not in my own home, where children are sleeping under, and this is in Tassie, sleeping under. Newspapers because mum and dad are blowing their dough on booze and drugs, etc., and beautiful big colour television, or back with big colour televisions, and the kids are sleeping under newspaper. That's not been my experience. So how do you honour when you feel that they don't deserve it? And there's something in this that I come back to, and that is how God sees you and me, and in this, I think of the ways that I abuse God. I think of the ways that I abandon God. I think of the times where I treat God inappropriately. I blame Him for stuff that isn't His fault. I, as a child of God, and does He then walk away from me? Does He then not show me grace? Does He then not show me mercy? What does God do? He continually reaches out, continually offers grace and mercy and kindness. So when I weigh that up in my mind, I think of folk who have people in their life that have treated them inappropriately. And here I'm reminded of how this is such a supernatural conversation, because the only way that we can do this is with God's help. And so there are times where I'll see someone who's in an incredibly difficult relationship and think, God, how can that person understand your sense of love and forgiveness and mercy in that place of abuse? Because you see, the word honor, in where it appears in the Old Testament and number of passages, it's honor is linked with humility, honor is linked with kindness, honor is linked with grace. And I think when we take those concepts on board, when God calls us to honor our parents, even if we feel that they don't deserve that, God says, I want you to do it anyhow. And I want you to humble yourself in that relationship. It doesn't mean that you've got to remain in an abusive relationship. Not at all. But you humble yourself in that. You show kindness in that. And you show grace in that. And that's what God does all the time to you. He does all of that to you. All the time. And we keep coming back. We keep coming back. So here's just some thoughts. I think God wants you to move towards forgiveness. And I say move because that's a process. You know, when you've been in a situation where it's abusive or neglect, or you often feel that they owe you, it's like a debt, but it's a debt that they can't pay. So what forgiveness does is allows you to cancel that debt that you think somebody else owes. And you're living your life as though somebody else owes you something. And all it will do will build bitterness and anger and more pain. So God wants us to move toward forgiveness. And the illustration is there in Matthew 18. Remember the slave who owes a debt to the master. And it's not a big debt, but the master forgives them. And then the slave, who's forgiven by the master, goes away and demands. He owes a lot. I ran the wrong way. He owes a lot and the master forgives the lot. And then the slave who has someone who owes him a little goes and throws him in prison. And the master finds out and says, you owed me a whole bunch. And I forgave you. And this guy owes you not much and you won't forgive. Matthew 18, have a read of that. It's a really good passage in trying to understand. That's why I say the order of these commands is really important, because it's grounded in our relationship with God. That as we love God and our love is focused towards Him, then He calls us to love others. Even parents that may not have treated us well, He calls us to honor them. And it begins with this concept of mercy, of forgiveness. The second one is mercy. You know, one of the trips we had in Melbourne as family, we love the city of Melbourne and things like football in winter and cafes down the side streets. And we walked to this cafe, you know, we got rows of cafes and got heaters because Melbourne's always freezing. And someone got, what's on? Great. Thank you. Seriously? Look, I was in a conference yesterday and with mobile phones off, and guy's phone rings. He sat there for I don't know how long. We were sitting there, it's your phone, dude. Turn it off. And after about half a minute, he picked up the phone. And then in the conference, he answers the phone. We're in Melbourne. We found this really neat place for breakfast. So we had breakfast and just there's a really good vibe. Lots of people everywhere. And they were doing a video clip for this music video. We got taken up in watching that. And then after a while, we up and then went into town, did our thing. And then walking back the same way to our hotel, we were coming around near where we had breakfast. And I looked at Rob and I said, did we pay this morning? No, I don't think we did. So I went to the counter and I said, look, really sorry, we were here for breakfast and we just got up and left. They looked at us and said, yeah, and you didn't look like runners, and they still had the account, and we paid them, and I said, look, I'm really sorry. We got taken up in the moment, left, and so we paid, and we actually went back there the next day for breakfast, and the waiter walked past and said, I've got my eye on you. And, you know, they showed grace. Mistakes happen. Have you ever sinned? Have you ever lied? Have you ever had a thought that's inappropriate? Have you ever lusted in your heart or your mind? Have you ever stolen? You know, whether it's your boss's time because you're on Facebook or some other way. And what do you expect from God? Or from the person that you let down? What do you, or from the restaurant where you forget to pay? What do you expect? Grace. Mercy. You know, move towards forgiveness. Extend grace. And the third one is this concept of set an example for your own children and those you disciple. Set an example for your own children and those who disciple. I say to parents, look, you've got this really bad attitude towards your dad or your mom. I said, what do you want your children to model? I know your mum and dad aren't perfect. Mine aren't either. But how we talk about our mum and father, you want your children to honour you? Model that. Model what that looks like. Have honest conversations. Yeah, grandma and grandpa aren't perfect. And yeah, they're a bit funny and over this. Okay, over here they're really weird. But look, We just love them. We honor them. We respect them. Because if you want that from your children, guess what? That's where it's got to begin. You model what that looks like. And here, I hear guys say, "Oh, look, I've got the gift of leadership." And how many leaders have messed up relationships with their dads or their mums? I think there's something in that. The people I know that are significant leaders, particularly in churches, have really good relationships with their mums or dads. I think if God calls you to be a leader, you need to honor your father or your mother, because how are you going to lead people in what that looks like if you don't model that yourself? You've got to go away and work that out. Set an example. And for those who feel that they're mother or their father don't deserve this, you know, I come back to this image on the cross again and the words that Jesus would cry out. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You feel like that with your mom, with your dad, family? And I can't even get my head around what it is for the creator of the universe, who's been in perfect fellowship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit for all of eternity, which is outside of our time frame. At that given point on the cross, not only remembers his mum, but in some way feels forsaken, shut off, cut out from his Father. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's something in that resonates with our human soul, at least in a human level, where we may feel like that in an earthly relationship. Yes? Go to that passage. Pour your heart out in that and your words to God. So before we close, just some suggestions. How do you want something to go away? There's some takeaways. And they're just suggestions, all right? From what it is to honor your father and mother, whether you're still under their roof, or whether as an adult, with your words. With your words. How you speak about them, how you speak about your parents reflects on how you feel about them, whether or not you honour, respect. We're awful in our Australian society where we just tear people down, speak derogatively of them. You know, if that's how we speak of parents, then our kids will pick up on that. With your actions. You know, obedience is a good thing here, isn't it, kids? Where's some kids here? Obedience is a good thing. why? Because when we're obedient to our parents, then we're showing that we respect and honor them. Isn't that right? Thanks. Right answer. You know, and as adults, when we're out from under our family, that you can still show respect and honor. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything that your parents want you to do. Obviously not. But there is a sense of respect and honor, even when you're out from under your mum and dad's roof. God calls you to leave and cleave with your husband or with your wife, but your parents are still able to speak into your life. And I probably appreciated that later than earlier in my life. But with your listening, pay attention to their counsel, shows respect. Proverbs 1 verse 8, hear my son your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. I know when you're in your teenage years, you don't think your mum or dad know anything or have ever lived. They have, you just haven't realized it yet. And probably somewhere down the track, you will, and you begin to maybe listen. It doesn't mean that you have to agree, but you listen, and in listening, we show respect. Taking time, we missed that. Taking time to be there. Take time to be there. Honor them. Treasure them. Respect them simply by being there. I don't have my mum and dad anymore. This is one I'd like to, you know, when you're away, I left Tassie in 83, there are lots of times I would have enjoyed being there. I probably could have been if it was. You know, one of the lovely things here, Pete Willis, I know where he is every Thursday. His mum's in a nursing home. Thursday morning, you won't get him. He's on the golf course, finishes golf, goes over to Southern Cross, visits his mum in the nursing home there. He's been there. Now, there's so many folk that when I visit there, when I do chapel over there, we come up to Christmas or Easter or their birthdays, and I don't ask the question anymore because so often I get a negative answer. I used to ask, you know, you got family coming down for your birthday? You got family coming down for Christmas? And they suggest that up to 70% of those in nursing homes don't have any ongoing contact with family. Now, they may have been really difficult for people to live with. I don't know. But I'd hate to think that when I'm in that setting that my family are devoid of relationship. And I think that that's something that's really important as adults, and I think as Christian adults, we model something of that for our community, that we're there for our parents. Ailish, you'll be looking after us in our old years. That's a gift. Remember we started talking about the value of the cost of a gift? My mum and dad with my grandma, she was really ill. She would live with the brothers for 2 or 3 months at a time, and then we'd shift them because it was this, and we had a busy house, but Ma was with us for 2 or 3 months, and then she'd go with one of the other brothers for 2 or 3 months until she got to a point where she needed high level care, and then she went into a nursing home. You know, there are folk where we have them as sick, and church folk are there for them. Church folk are bringing meals, and I don't see family. And it makes me ask the question, these are Christian people. Where's family? Where's the honor for mum or for dad when they're sick to be there for them? I'm not wanting to dump guilt on anyone. It's just take time to be there while they're here. Appreciate the good things. You know, find something. If you struggle as I said, you know, you're talking to your kids, your grandparents are, you know, they're a little strange. Okay, they are a bit weird sometimes, but find something that's good and celebrate that. I used to work with a policewoman. Her name was Val, and she was as hard as nails. She was gruff. She was blunt as a meat axe. She was great in a fight. She was better than two blokes. Find something about someone that's positive, that's good. And verbalize that. Appreciate the good things. And just a couple more and we'll wrap it up because I know you need to go. Write a tribute. There's a joy. Rob's mum's funeral. Grace. Wasn't lovely, the tributes? Just beautiful. Rob's words of his mother. he wrote, this is why we do what we do, because Mum said, this is, and that's a tribute. Write a tribute. Think of, and give it to them. Send it to them. Email it. Speak it to them. And finally, honoring your mother in death by caring for your father. What a gift that is. A number of times I see that, where Mum's gone. Honor your mother by looking after Dad. It's just a gift. God calls us to love Him. He calls us to love others. Where do we see that in particular? In how we honor and respect our parents in humility and grace and kindness. Thank you and have a